Hey everyone, this is Gabe, and welcome to another episode of the Mogul Bar Show. With me, I have a very special guest, Catalina Rodriguez Tapia. She is the author of Conflicted. And if you don't know Conflicted, it is a very insightful book, and I'm holding it up here. Hopefully I'm in the camera shot, but it is the voices of Central American immigrants. And Catalina, please, why don't you tell us a little bit about the book and a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Gabe. Thank you so much for having me. Really excited to be chatting with you. And thanks for the awesome intro. I am the author of Conflicted. It's a book about Central American migrants and basically the root reasons why people are leaving. And it's really a mix of my own narrative as someone who's from Central America, who's also like lived in different parts of Central America. So part of my narrative, but also the stories of people I've met and people who have come forward and telling me the reasons behind this, mixed in with data and the history of Central America, which is a very complex history that really, really explains what's going on today. You know, like we think about the migrant situation as something that's just like happening because, and it's really rooted in history. So that's a part that's really interesting in my book as well. A little bit about like why I wrote it. is I'm originally from Costa Rica, moved to Honduras when I was a few months old because my dad found a job there. And so we moved there when I was very young. And throughout my time in Honduras, I really loved the country. And I mean, it is to this day, it's my home. But there's always this kind of weird comparison I had between Costa Rica and Honduras. In the sense that Honduras, a lot of people were leaving and there was a lot of crime and violence and things that you didn't hear about in Costa Rica. And that really was strange. I went to my cousins in Costa Rica. I would like hang out with them and then I would tell them like some things that I heard or seen. Like, oh, and my friend who got kidnapped. And they would be like, oh my gosh, what? So it was that like strange comparison that really made me interested in like what is going on here. It's not just, you know, this one country is better than the other, because that's not the case. It's more like there's something that's really deep here that we really need to unravel. And so out of like love for Honduras and like the hopes that, you know, I could understand what was going on and see what could be done better, I really became obsessed with that situation and like what was making the country so difficult to live in. And it's essentially that really led to like not just that place, but also all of Central America. My family is also from Nicaragua. So they also had to leave Nicaragua because of the civil war there. So explaining why that happened as well. So all these little different things, I think it's all really rooted in my upbringing and my questions and all my interests in Central America and the reasons for leaving are rooted in all of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think I read the book and then I reread the book because it really was a powerful book. I think, you know, to try to explain the book, it's sort of like looking at artwork. You can't really, you can't describe artwork. So you can't explain a book, in my opinion. Sometimes when I read something, it takes a hold of you and you sort of like, you just have to read the book. It's like, here, read it. But I found it very refreshing because I didn't feel like you were lecturing us. I didn't feel like you were talking down to anyone or crying for help, but you were just matter-of-factly stating the facts. You did research, you were explaining your personal experiences, and then you had all of these interviews that you did with people that somehow really felt very comfortable just opening up and talking to you and telling you their life story. Let's sort of talk about that for a little bit. What was that like? Because I think it's a little disconcerting. I don't know that people would feel comfortable talking to me. I don't know why. I mean, although you're talking to me, so maybe I'm wrong, but I feel that I wouldn't know how to approach someone in saying, hey, tell me about your life story. Oh, by the way, are you undocumented? It's like, wait a second, it's this guy with the, you know, immigration services. It's like, you know, and you know, it's just, what was that like? What was that experience?
Yeah, that's a really good point because honestly, this whole idea started back when I was an intern, because back then I had to interview people in Columbia Heights in Washington, D.C. Oh. And I speak about it in the book, so you know this very well. But in Columbia Heights, there's a big Central American community. I mean, actually just a Latin community in general, but the Central American community is particularly big there. And I had to ask questions about remittances. So it was very factual, just trying to get data on what was like the flow of remittances from one place to the other, blah, blah, blah. And in those questions, one of the questions I had to ask was whether they were undocumented. And that made me very uncomfortable. And so, I mean, I was an intern, so I wasn't going to be like telling my boss, like, no, let's not do this. But, you know, I did feel a little uncomfortable because it was none of my business. I was Central American, so I approached them and like I try to like chat people up and tell them like, oh, I'm from Costa Rica, lived in Honduras, like didn't try to make it as not treating them like just statistics, because even though that's what the task was, just treating them like to the statistics, I wanted to be a little more subtle in the approach. So I would talk to them a little bit like, oh yeah, from here, blah, blah, blah. And then when I got to the question of undocumented, I would be like, look, tell me if you want to, but like, otherwise it's okay. Like, I'm not going to, you know, I mean, I'm not going to do anything if you don't want to tell me. But people actually, I think by that point, I think they're okay telling me. And what was really interesting was people started to tell me why they were like undocumented. And that was the unexpected part. And maybe it was because the initial approach had been very subtle and it wasn't just give me your information. Mm-hmm. It was more subtle. I think that helped a lot. But yeah, people started telling me their stories, and this guy telling me like, yeah, I left because, you know, I was extorted in my country. And I was like, oh my gosh, like I've heard of that. And like, we would have conversations about this with some of the people. So I think that was really where I realized like some people obviously don't want to tell their stories, and that's completely fine. And they shouldn't tell their stories because it's their stories. But some people really want to be heard because, for example, like one of the hardest conversations I had was also with a lady who was extorted. And she, like, the reason was she opened a business because she wanted to be with her, to provide for her son. She had many jobs, and then at some point she got fired from the last one. And so she was like, I'll just open my business. I don't have to have a boss. And then she was extorted. So she had to like leave the country because otherwise she's going to die. And so it's just, when she told me, she's in tears, and I was like, we don't have to talk, like, you know, let's take a step back, like this is obviously triggering something. And she was like, no, I want people to know because this has to stop. So, you know,
and also it was probably therapeutic for her as well. I mean, to like get it off, she probably hadn't had an opportunity to really just get it off her chest. Mm-hmm. And you provided her an unjudging ear, so I think that speaks volumes for you know, the fact that this book was definitely needed.
And as I said, I think the people who wanted to talk to me, I did have like one person who told me their story. Then they told me like, actually, I'd rather not have it documented. And that's fine. Like, I respect people. And in the end, this was like a collaborative thing. Whenever I wrote something, I shared it with the person so that they would fact check me, but also tell me like, this is okay with me. And in the end, as I said, it has to be subtle. I can't come in and tell people like their stories and then expect them to just follow my lead, because it's not how it works. But it was tough for sure. Definitely tough. Like, it was tough for me as well. I was like, damn, I like these
I'm
people.
Sure it was. I can't imagine. That's, I feel like that's something that you don't actually learn in school unless you're going to school for psychology or psychiatry. It's one of those things that it's like, okay, I'm doing this. It's, you know, so I think that's amazing. Now with this book, again, I found it so refreshing because it provided me so much information. I find people's stories are often more powerful than news stories. You know, it's like we watch CNN, Fox, ABC News, whatever it is, and you'll see the highlights of what's going on, of somebody kidnapped or killed or God knows what happened. But to see it written from somebody's own, you know, firsthand perspective, that's more powerful. Was that your goal with this book, to sort of open people's eyes and be like, hey, they're human beings too. Everyone is suffering. Was that what you were trying to achieve?
Yeah, you're spot on. That was exactly it.
Oh,
Because
okay.
no, in the sense that I think what you're saying is true. We often think about statistics as just like another number. So I did want to provide the data because for someone who likes to see the information and the data, it's going to be there, you know. And I believe in that as well. But you're right that some people don't really act on just information or data. Sometimes people act on emotion and connecting with other people's situation. So I try to have that element as well. And I think through the stories and from the people's point of views and really understanding what they felt and what their, not just what they felt, but like what their fears were, what their aspirations were as well. You really get to connect with the story. And the hope is that someone who reads that who might have not cared much, or they've seen a news source, like you said, but they probably didn't take the moment to think about what that meant for someone or for someone's family or for someone's mother or father, et cetera, could really mean and just think like, oh wow, this is bigger than I thought. Because in the end, it is people.
Absolutely. What's been the feedback? Because for anyone who hasn't read the book or is going to read the book, one of the things that they'll come across is, the underlying theme of gang violence, Impuesto de Guerra, war tax. What's been the feedback? Because I don't know if you've gone back home since the book was released in December 2020. I don't know if you've gone back home since then. Has anybody been concerned, like, hey, you shouldn't be out here, people read your book, or has there been like threats on your life? Has there been like what's been because aside from the gangs, also this is also bringing to light a lot of government corruption or just mis improprieties, that it's just like, yeah, you probably didn't do as much as you should have. It's like, so what's that been like for you? Has there been anything like troubling on your side with the terms of the feedback that you've received?
Thankfully, I haven't gotten any threats or anything related. I haven't been back. It's also been the pandemic. It was released during the pandemic, so I honestly just haven't been able to go either. But of course, there was a fear, and I don't live in Honduras anymore. So I think if I did live in Honduras, I would be a little more scared. I did wait to leave, and my parents don't live out there anymore, as I was telling you. So in that sense, I feel more comfortable that I
Of
wrote these
course.
things. I will tell you that you're completely right that I used to think about writing something like that or writing an article or something similar. And the whole time when I lived there, I always thought like, oh my gosh, but what if this leads to like dire consequences? Because I've heard it. I know people who have gone through like their family was hurt or something happened because the journalist wrote something. And so in that sense, I mean, yes, it is scary. But at the same time, I think now that I've left, I feel a little more comfortable. Yeah, I haven't gotten feedback like any death threats or anything, which is good.
Well, good. I'm happy to hear that.
yeah. And I hope that, I mean, I do talk about the governments, but I hope that it's not controversial enough that it's not, I mean, I try to be reasonable, you know? Even though it's an uncomfortable truth, I try to be reasonable and saying facts that are known facts and that it's not made up, you know? It's like you Google it
Yeah, no,
or.
everything can be verified, independently, which I think is the key. Again, goes back to the research that you put into it, along with the emotion. Like everything is there to sort of validate everything. It's not just the ranktons of a, someone who left. It's so I think that's very, very good. What can we do? Like, what can we do? Like what can we do? It's just like that. That's I realize that's an open-ended question. There's no magic button. There's no easy answer. But yeah,
That's a
everyone's gonna
million
ask,
dollar
what can we
question.
do?
That's a million dollar question. I mean, for me, I think one of the things that I tried with this book was to raise consciousness in terms of people knowing what's going on. Because when people know about these things, they become more vocal and there's more pressure for governments to stop doing what they're doing or for there to be more accountability in all of these things. So I would just hope that what people can do is just if there's some type of like situation where they can write a petition or just try to like make it more vocal so that it's something that's more known out there. I mean, little by little, I think the word starts to spread and that helps out. But as I actually end the book on that note where I don't know. I mean, I write a part that's on like, what can we do in terms of policy? And I'm like, what can we do? Honestly, that I wish we could really answer that because what's going on is a problem that's been going on for many years. It's the accumulation of many economic, political, social factors that has basically become, a safety situation for people in the countries that leads them to leave. Something that I do emphasize is them leaving is not the problem. I mean, we should be okay with migration happening because it happens everywhere. And many times migration is accepted in some countries. People are like open arms for migrants to come in certain countries, but others then it doesn't happen. And that's very, very sad and pretty awful. But that's not the problem. The problem is that people's livelihoods in their home countries is not great. They're in they have social problems. Their security is at stake, etc. So I think focusing first on like destigmatizing what migrants from Central America are is a great first step, and that's through greater consciousness of what they're really going through, not seeing them as just people who come because they're, trying to take your job, for example, or just they're lazy or I don't know, all those stigmas that exist is a great first step. But we also have to think about what's going on in the countries. And that's the harder part, right? So that's the part where I don't know what we really can do.
I think, and it's also like a huge misunderstanding because you look at it, I'm just going to go quickly right back to the war tax. The people that are leaving because they have to shut down their businesses and they can't support their families because of the war tax, so they're coming over here. Yep. Those people that are starting, that are in their business or have to shut down their businesses are the entrepreneurs. Those are the people that we actually want in the country because they can then elevate the economy of the country and, with those businesses, if they succeed, provide jobs for other, people that maybe aren't as entrepreneurial as them and have their own business. But now the problem is they leave, they take their business with them. Now there's no jobs for the people that's there. So the people that want to do an honest living are leaving. And I think that's something that people need to understand, again, to your point, to destigmatize. It's not just, hey, people are leaving. It's like, hey, they're leaving. That means this business closed down and there's no maybe local bodega in that community right now, or there's no, whatever business was there is no longer there to support that local community or to support the workers that were working. It's a trickle down effect and everybody's being affected. And, it goes back to the effect of the country. So they're leaving. Mm-hmm. How do we it's crazy.
What makes me more upset about that part, about the war tax situation, is that some people are targeted by it and the other people, the ones who wanted to become entrepreneurs, don't become entrepreneurs because they're scared of being targeted. So even like that part, I was gonna mention her. I asked her, and she's not the only person who told me exactly the same words. She could have opened a business, and she's a very intelligent person who is also a great cook and knows how to tell and how to lead and everything. And she could have been a great restaurant owner or something, but because of the situation and everything, she was like, no, that's impossible. I cannot do that. And I know many other people who have said the same thing. It's really upsetting.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. And I think, on the US side, we're focusing so much on the migrants coming over and looking at them negatively, but we're not thinking, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we're too far removed, and we're not thinking of the effect that it's having locally on the country and how it's affecting this. Because now, you know, look at yourself. You're a smart, intelligent young woman. You came to the U.S. to study. And I'm not saying that you could not have gone to school in Honduras or in Costa Rica or somewhere else in Central America. But you chose to come here either for safety reasons or for a better education. Where you might have been able to do so much good in your native country if it was safe for you to do so. So it's like, how do we weigh it? It's like, on the one hand, the US, we're happy. We're so happy to have you because you're, you know, doing great and you're going to, you know, be a contributing, you know, and we're going to shine a light on you and you're going to be like, yeah, she's one of the best. We want more like her. But everybody is like you, but in different ways, in their own way. And that's what we sort of have to kind of accept.
Yeah, there's definitely a guilt there. There's definitely like a guilt of me writing the book is part of that guilt. Like, man, I wish I still was there to help, but I'm also don't want to. You know what I mean?
It's but I don't think I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you could look at it in that way because I think you're in the right place at the right time. Because had you been there, like you said earlier, maybe you wouldn't have been able to write the book. You know, or maybe you would have written it, but maybe it wouldn't have been published. There's so many unknowns, and you know, it's like in a way I'm happy you're here because I was able to read the book. And you know, I think you're gonna have so much more of an impact being over here. What's next for you now? You've written the book. I know the Spanish version is supposed to come out maybe, I don't know if soon, but soon. What's next for you?
So people keep asking me, are you going to write another book? And for now, I think I'm good. I mean, this book, I put a lot of heart into it. Having these conversations was tough because I empathize with the people a lot. And so I kind of needed a little break because of that. That being said, I'm like ready to give this book more like promotion, you know, and whether it's like talking with people like you, just to get the word out a little bit more. And I think the next step that I think matters the most as well is making it in Spanish. Because I was talking to my friend who I also has a podcast and I was on hers as well. And she told me, like, my mom really wants to read the book, but she doesn't know English. So I was like, man, you know what? These people have to read it too. Cause it's, I mean, even some of the people I interviewed, it was in Spanish. So, some of them also, I gave them, their sections, I gave it to them a translated version so that they could read it. But I also felt like it would be nice for them to read the entire book that they're part of. So I think that's an important next step, is going to make it in Spanish. And in terms of that, I think that's, for me, like, at least for now, that's my aspiration. But long term, I'd love to see changes in the country. You know, that's really like the one thing that I always wanted and hoped for, was that Central America, which is such a great region. It's so beautiful and it's just beautiful beaches, wonderful people, some of the happiest people in the world. For them to like live a good life, like a proper and happy life. That's it. Very simple aspiration. So getting ways to do that, anything that I can do to help would be great. Basically.
Excellent. Well, I'm very, very happy for you and the book. Thank you for taking the opportunity to speak with me. I appreciate your time greatly. Where can people reach you if they want to reach you, or if you don't want to be reached? I don't know. It's up to you.
No. My Instagram is Catalina, CATALINA, 2_RT.
Okay. Excellent. Catalina, thank you very much. I am greatly appreciative of you taking this time. Thank you.
Thanks to you, Gabe.